We're going to spend some time right now with one of our favorite regular guests, and he is associate editor, I believe is the right term, with Skeptical Inquirer, and writes extensively about things that may or may not be true, I guess would be one way to put it. Ben Radford joins us. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'll take that description. Write about things that may or may not be true. That's fair enough.
It's kind of broad. That kind of covers everything.
Well, it's both niche and broad.
Let's jump right in. One of the things that may or may not be true, and you're going to tell us more about it, is something called, is it the Blue Whale Game?
Yes. There's actually a more recent updated version of it, which is called the Momo Challenge. I'll talk a little bit about that.
All right. What the heck? What is it? Give us the once over lightly here.
Okay. Well, so the Blue Whale Game is a sort of sinister online game that was said to lead to a bunch of suicides, particularly among internet connected youth. And it was all the rage about 2 years ago. And what was happening was that there were stories that are going around that that children who were online, of course, as most kids spend all their time online, you know, with their faces buried in their phones, was that they were being targeted by an online social media group, and their aim was to get kids to kill themselves. And so the idea was that these innocent children would be clicking on this fun, okay, kids, it's a game, it has a blue whale in it, not realizing that this is part of some vast, sinister conspiracy, and that soon the kids would be asked to do a series of increasingly dangerous and scary tasks once each day. And the idea is that on the 50th day, the final day, the controlling manipulators behind the game would ask the kid to kill him or herself, and allegedly this would happen.
Okay, so you say this has been around a couple of years. What have you found out? Has this really been happening or not?
It has not really been happening.
Okay,
it's sort of a version of the moral panic. One of my interests is in psychology and sociology and folklore, and it's fascinating to see how these moral panics are sort of old wine in new bottles. And it has all the hallmarks of a classic moral panic. So you have modern technology and seemingly benign personal devices as posing hidden dangers to teens. You saw this, for example, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, with the concern over Dungeons and Dragons and heavy metal that was going to lead kids to Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
You have the classic stranger danger concerns, right, where people are concerned that released sex offenders or aliens or whoever are lurking behind every tree waiting just to snatch kids, whereas, in fact, statistically, we know that any given child is in far more danger from being either physically or sexually assaulted by a parent or caregiver than any stranger.
Yeah.
And, again, there's the whole notion of a conspiracy of hidden worlds out there trying to get to the kids. So, anyway, in 2016, 2017... there were widespread concerns. Parents, teachers, schools were putting out notices to tell kids to, hey, if you see this blue whale game, this is evil. And there were when you actually look for the evidence, you find that it's all smoke and mirrors. Most of the claimed victims of the blue whale game happened in Russia, and they are unnamed. So part of the blue whale story is, hundreds of kids, have died. And you say, who exactly were they? Well, just hundreds of kids.
In Russia.
Yeah, in Russia,
Where you can't access any information to verify it.
That's exactly right. And so it actually did come to the U.S. in 2017. And I wrote about this for Skeptical Inquirer magazine. So in July 2017 was the first time that there were any alleged victims of the blue whale game here in the States. And the first one was was in July 2017 when there was a 15-year-old named Isaiah Gonzalez from San Antonio who killed himself by hanging suicide. Mm-hmm. And this is true. This has been verified. But the question is there any connection to the Blue Whale game? And the answer is no, there's no evidence for that. So what's happened was that the people who were concerned that the Blue Whale game is a very real, imminent threat to kids, they sort of retroactively fit. They sort of they co-opt real suicides, and there have been a couple cases, including Gonzalez, and they sort of go back and they try and fit, well, he was online a lot. Well, most kids are online a lot. So that's the Blue Whale game in a nutshell. But what's more interesting is that there is a new version of that that's circulating as we speak, and it's called the Momo Challenge, and it's another online app game, and it's the figurehead is this really creepy, terrifying, haunting image of an image with huge eyes called Momo. And once again, you have the same, as I mentioned, old wine and new bottles. So even though the Blue Whale Challenge sort of emerged and then sank, as blue whales do, it's reemerged in this most recent panic over this Momo Challenge, in which kids are being warned not to play the Momo game. And the idea is that again, this person posing as Momo, this creepy, terrifying, bug-eyed woman, will try and engage the person to do a series of harmful tasks. So it's fascinating.
And is there any evidence of it actually existing?
No.
Okay.
this is always the thing, right? It's you know, for you know, part of the reason these things spread so far is that for a lot of parents, they don't care about evidence. They care about protecting their children.
Sure.
And to a lot of parents, it's intuitive. They don't text. I don't want to generalize. Many of them don't text. They're not comfortable with you know what kids are online doing, and it's an easy avenue to have these fears spread around. So people need to not worry so much about it. I mean, the fact is that you know, the Blue Whale Challenge was it emerged, it circulated around, it was investigated by many people, including myself, and turned out to basically be bunk. And again, there's a current very similar, nearly identical challenge called the Momo Challenge, which is circulating like literally right now in the past few weeks. And again, it's really the same thing, just repackaged.
And it makes sense in a way, because there have been all of these internet-based challenges that have gone around.
Yes.
You know, there was the ice bucket challenge, which was a fundraising thing, and then there was the cinnamon challenge, and all these different, you know, goofy things kids want to do to make each other laugh. And
remember the planking challenge?
Yes, right. Laying out in the yard and whatnot.
Right.
And some of them are just funny, some are innocuous, some are actually kind of semi-dangerous, and one thing leads to another.
Exactly.
Kid might hurt themselves. But as far as there being any kind of conspiracy behind it all, that's where it really runs up against a lack of evidence.
Absolutely. And the fact is that that this is not difficult to determine, right? Because the nature of the challenge, at least the Blue Whale Challenge, it's crystal clear. The claim is that kids are contacted by some anonymous evildoer and requested to do specifically 50 things each day. So one day it might be to watch a horror film at 4:20 in the morning. Another day it might be to kill an animal. Another day it might be to go to the top of a high building nearby and look down. And then again on the 50th day, it's you have to jump or kill yourself. And
right.
So the fact is that if the Blue Whale game was real, determining whether or not a given person was part of that should be very easy to tell, because either the victim did or did not have an established pattern over 50 days of doing these increasingly you know, bizarre tasks. And frankly, I mean, come on, man. You know, the idea that a stranger online is going to get a teenager to do something consistently for 50 days, I mean, you know, parents have a hard enough time getting the kids to clean up their room, much less doing 2 months of weird things.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And, you know, it all does, of course, connect back for me to what I've experienced my entire life was the Halloween candy scare every year. And it's very similar in the sense that it preys on parents worrying about their children being protected. And it creates a vague threat that has no factual basis or can't be researched correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, that's one of the reasons it's that people are so ripe for it. It's so believable to a lot of people. Again, as you mentioned, you know, parents want to protect their children, and that's an admirable, important quality, right? So what these sort of moral panics do is they prey on the insecurities of parents who, of course, want to protect their kids. And, you know, it was the same thing a couple years back with the phantom clown panics, where, you know, for several months after Halloween in 2016, there were threats of evil clowns going to try and shoot up schools. And it was all internet rumors, but the school administrators and the parents had to take it seriously, right? Because it was, even though it's an obviously bogus threat by a clown claiming he's going to shoot up a school, it is still literally a threat to a school. And if on the off chance it actually happens, then, you know, people are going to get fired and be sued if they don't act on it. And so it was this sort of self-reinforcing prophecy in which parents who might otherwise say, well, this is ridiculous, this Momo thing, blue whales, evil clowns shooting up schools, I mean, there's no truth to this. But then they get a message from their school district saying, hey, parents, you need to be aware of this. You know, we're not saying it's true, we're not saying it's not true, but, you know, this is circulating, blah, 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 and it reinforces the notion that, wow, I mean, this seems bogus to me, but yeah. You know, the school administrators and police are taking it seriously, but they have to take it seriously.
And it's particularly harsh and damaging when we have had here locally at least one verified school shooting threat that resulted in arrests and another that just recently has blown up to be something as a credible threat as well. And that makes it all worse. That amplifies the parents' fears. There is an actual threat existing that's identified, and then that can spin off all of these other fictionalized threats, right?
Absolutely. It's all lumped together. Yeah. And it's harder and harder for parents and others to, you know, you just sort of get this, you get this mishmash of rumors and, mm-hmm. you know, internet-based legends and a sprinkling of true cases.
Yep.
That are all sort of lumped together, and they sort of turn into this latent anxiety that in many cases is unnecessary.
Let's turn to a different topic that's very much in the news this last couple of weeks, and relating to the case of Jussie Smollett or Smollett in Chicago, the actor who now appears to have concocted an attack on himself, which, if you're old enough like me, you immediately remember Morton Downey Jr., which is like
that's right.
That's 100 years ago now, but a very similar situation, and what seems to have been done for similar purposes to draw attention, to become more well known, and then use that notoriety to make more money, something like that. That's what appears to be the case with this actor's situation. The question for you then, as we get into, and I know you've looked at this, the people worry that because one person concocted an attack, then we will lose sight of how many of these kind of attacks actually do happen and what the danger is for people who may be gay or trans or just of a racial minority or whatever the case might be. So what do we know about this? What's the truth about attacks for these purposes, and are they more often real or are they more often concocted?
Well, you know, in all these cases, you know, people should always believe the victim, at least initially, right? I mean, that was the case what happened here. So, you know, most cases, you know, most times when someone reports an incident happening to them, it's true. That's true whether they're victims of a robbery, victims of a hate crime, victims of a hit and run. Take your pick. I mean, just statistically, in most cases, when someone reports something, it's true, at least to the best of their knowledge. Now, they may have misidentified the person, there may be other issues, but it's not an intentional hoax. So certainly that's one thing to keep in mind. And exactly as you pointed out, there are certain types of cases that that tend to get more attention. For example, you mentioned Morton Downey Jr. Remember that case? It was also a little bit lesser known is the case of Curtis Sliwa, the guy who started the Guardian Angels. Who walking around New York with his berets, he faked an attack as well.
Yeah,
he claimed to be the attack for the same reasons, right? He wanted to get people publicity, and there's the, of course, other cases such as the Tawana Brawley hoax as well. Yeah. And so the after each of these cases, one of the things that's often heard is the concern that the real victims won't come forward. And certainly that's been the case with the Smollett case in the past few days and weeks since the story broke. I've seen countless pundits and news articles talking about the damage that this will do to the credibility of real victims. And I think that concern may be overblown, and here's why. The fact is that the police did believe him. The police thoroughly investigated Smollett's claims, and they concluded that he had, in fact, concocted it. So there's no reason to assume that an actual victim of a hate crime or an attack is going to look at the Smollett case and say, well, the police didn't believe him. Well, the police did believe him, and they investigated thoroughly, and it's through that investigation that the truth came out, or at least, as far as we know, he hasn't been convicted, but he's certainly been accused of faking it. And so presumably, what happened in the Smollett case is exactly what all victims want, real victims, right? You want the police to spend weeks trying to figure out who what happened, who did this. And so one of the concerns that you often hear is that, that people who are the victims of actual real crimes will look at this and say, well, some people online didn't believe him. Well, welcome to the internet. Some people online don't believe the world is round. So, you're always going to have people who are doubters. But the fact is that there's no reason to think that any real victim who actually has been, victimized is not going to report their victimization because of a high-profile case that turned out not to be true.
You just got me started on the whole flat Earth thing now. You brought that up.
Uh-oh.
And I just watched a documentary yesterday or Saturday on Netflix. This may be the next segment's topic now that you've got me going there, Ben. So the evidence is, based on what you've just said, is that people who really have been attacked are not deterred from reporting attacks because of these falsified stories.
There's no good. Yeah, there's no evidence that there is any effect of that. And this isn't just my opinion. We can look at this, right? So if it's true, then sociologists and criminologists see a drop in reports of these specific crimes following the high profile revelations of faked incidences. So, for example, in 2005, do you remember the runaway bride case?
Mm-hmm.
Of Jennifer Wilbanks, the woman that got cold feet, and she actually claimed to have been abducted for a week and ended up here in New Mexico, in my hometown, actually.
Mm-hmm.
After that case came out and people said, oh, my God, this woman claimed to have been abducted. She actually wasn't. Then you should see a drop in reports of real victims saying, well, I was abducted, but I'm not going to report mine because there was this high profile case. There's no evidence of that. You see the same thing, in 1994 when Susan Smith, the mother who, she drowned her two children in a lake, and she claimed that a black man had abducted her kids.
Right.
Well, that later turned out to be false. So there's no logic behind the idea that if anybody actually abducts your kids, you're going to say, well, hey, we all heard about that Susan Smith case. She, it turned out she made it up. No one's going to believe me. Of course they're going to believe you. It seems unlikely that a real victim would be deterred just because the same crime reported by somebody else somewhere else under different circumstances turned out to be faked.
Yeah. So a misguided concern on our part, perhaps.
I think it is. You always want to err on the side of believing victims and making sure that people feel comfortable coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the idea that this Smollett case is going to deter people who have actually, think about this, right? If just because somebody down the road from you falsely claims to have been burglarized, and in fact they fenced their stuff or something, are you not going to report your burglary? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. Any other new incidences of people's gullibility that we should be looking forward to in the future?
There's too many. How much time do we have? No. I'll just circle back for a second to flat earthers.
Yeah.
At the local skeptics group. We had a speaker who was a genuine flat earther. And he knew he was coming into a group of skeptics and whatever else, and he gave a presentation explaining why he believed the Earth was flat, and it was just this bizarre amalgamation. And we were very respectful. He had his allotted time, but it was just so bizarre. And he would say things, and he'd be challenged on it. He'd say, "Well, that's just your opinion," or "You can't prove gravity exists."
Yeah,
I'm like. Okay.
Yeah, that's a doozy, isn't it? The one I'm talking about is called Behind the Curve. And
okay.
Ben, I recommend you checking it out. What makes it actually more astonishing for me is one of the quote-unquote stars in this film, one of the big flat earth proponents, is somebody I used to work with here at this radio station.
Interesting.
For many years. And in fact, I was amazed. I knew that she had become a conspiracist. Now she's like a star of the flat earth world. And I was like, oh my God, look who it is. And, so I'm going to talk more about that, I think, in the segment up ahead.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
Oh man. I've suggested there's an epidemic of dumb going on in our society. Do you think it's, last question, is it worse now than it's ever been? Are we dumber today than we've ever been?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's a hard one to answer. I think that what's happened, of course, is that we have more information, both good and bad, due to the internet and due to mass media. So, I think we're dumb in different ways. So, if you look, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, people were ignorant about the world because they didn't have access to the world, right? If you live in Iowa, you don't know what's going on in Afghanistan or in China because there's no mass media. So there's that level of ignorance. But what's happened is we're ignorant today because the mass media and the internet has amplified both the good and the bad news, which is all the more reason why we need critical thinking and media literacy.
Yeah. Ben Radford from Skeptical Inquirer and from his many books, where can we find out more about your writing and see what you're up to lately?
I'm around and about. You can find me on Facebook at Ben Radford. You can find me on Twitter at BT Radford. I'm also, as you mentioned, deputy editor of Skeptical Inquirer Science Magazine. And I do a blog there called A Skeptic Reads the Newspaper. So I'm around and about.
And I'll look forward to the next time we get a chance to talk about whatever the next dumb thing is that comes up.
Always great to talk to you. All Thanks right. for having me on.
Take care, Ben.
Bye.
All right. We are out of time for now, but as mentioned, I think I have to get into this whole Behind the Curve movie and what I learned over the weekend about people I thought I knew. That's coming up.